From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, September 19th, 2025. Maine's congressional delegation split today over a short-term funding bill aimed at keeping the federal government open until late November. As Steve Missler reports, the measure cleared the House but stalled in the Senate, increasing the chances of a government shutdown at the end of the month.
Democratic Congressman Jared Golden was the lone Democrat to join House Republicans in voting for the bill, which mostly extended current spending through November, but added $88 million to beef up security for Congress and the executive branch. Golden argued that the stopgap bill would buy Congress more time to negotiate a longer-term proposal without the pain of a shutdown, which he said would give President Trump more sweeping powers. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree voted against the measure. Most Democrats in the Senate, as well as independent Senator Angus King, also opposed it. They argued it should include an extension of health insurance subsidies set to expire later this year and reverse Medicaid cuts recently enacted by Republicans. Senate Democrats tried to pass a separate funding bill including those provisions, but it was defeated by the Republican majority. Speaking from the floor, Republican Senator Susan Collins described the Democrats' proposal as a partisan bill loaded with, quote, poison pills. Collins supported the stopgap measure, which failed to obtain the 60 votes needed to pass. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Governor Janet Mills accused the Trump administration today of, quote, government by intimidation. As Kevin Miller reports, her remarks come amid demands for personal data about voters and food stamp recipients.
Earlier this week, the Department of Justice sued Maine and Secretary of State Shenna Bellows over her office's refusal to share complete copies of the state's voter registration files. Mills, who is a former attorney general, says she's confident that current AG Aaron Fry will successfully defend the state against the DOJ lawsuit. And Mills pointed to a California judge's decision this week that the Trump administration cannot withhold federal dollars from states, including Maine, that refuse to hand over the Social Security numbers and other personal data of food assistance recipients.
Why do they need all that data? It's unreasonable. It's oppressive, administratively oppressive, and just an invasion of privacy. It's government by intimidation, and we can't let that happen.
The Justice Department says it needs complete copies of Maine's voter files to ensure that the state is accurately maintaining its list of registered voters. Multiple states, run by both Democrats and Republicans, have refused similar requests from the DOJ. But so far, the department has only filed suit against Maine and Oregon. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Health officials in Maine say they're working with water utilities to stay below maximum contaminant levels for the chemical hexavalent chromium. That's after a report from the Environmental Working Group pointed to thousands of public utilities nationwide that had traces of the compound. These chemicals have been linked to harmful effects in humans, including cancer. While some public utilities in Maine have traces of these chemicals, local reports show they're all well below dangerous levels. In a statement, the Maine Department of Health and Human Services said utilities are required to notify customers if those levels are ever exceeded. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is moving to roll back a law that regulates forestry and development on national forest land. Rescinding the so-called roadless rule will remove a ban on road construction and timber harvesting on nearly 59 million acres of the national forest system. That could affect more than 6,000 acres in Maine, including part of the White Mountain National Forest. Jen Brecky of Maine Sierra Club chapter says rescinding the rule could hurt the state's outdoor recreation economy.
Even though we don't have a ton of Forest Service land, it still impacts one of our most popular areas in the state.
Today is the final day of the federal public comment period. The Trump administration is aiming to officially roll back the rule by late next year. Maine Health has launched a new membership-based primary care service in Portland that it says will improve access to care. Patty White reports.
It's called Trellis Health. Under the model, a monthly membership fee gives patients access to a healthcare team that includes a primary care provider, behavioral health specialist, pharmacist, physical therapist, and a health coach. Memberships start at $109 a month, and while individuals can join, Maine Health is also marketing employer-sponsored plans. Officials say the model could reduce overall health costs because patients will have more timely access to primary care and longer appointments that can help maintain their health. The fee covers only primary care visits and not specialty care or surgeries. While the membership-based service is new for Maine Health, some independent providers have offered direct primary care for years to avoid the administrative burden of insurance and spend more time with patients. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The second annual Maine Immigration Forum in Portland Thursday night struck a sober but resolute tone as community organizations assessed the hardships and achievements of the state's immigrant population. Ben Conniff, co-founder of Luke's Lobster, said during a panel discussion that the state's seafood processing industry has long relied on immigrant labor. Now he says those workers are under attack.
You know, I'm here to help people understand that when you come for Maine's immigrant population, you are coming for our seafood industry.
Conniff says he's particularly concerned about changes in Trump's recently passed federal budget law that he says will make it harder for immigrant workers to renew their work permits. Still, the event was also a celebration of Maine's immigrant communities, featuring food, dance, and speakers from a wide range of countries. State biologists and game wardens pulled off an unusual feat this week, rescuing a young 500-pound bull moose that got stuck in a well in Pembroke. As Nora Sachs reports, the animal is safe for now.
When regional wildlife biologist Steve Dunham got a call about a moose trapped in a well in Pembroke on Wednesday evening, he says he wasn't sure what to expect. When he arrived on scene, he found a young bull moose sloshing around in the bottom of an 8-foot-deep stone well.
We knew that we'd have to mobilize it to be able to remove it because a bull moose in the rut is not an formidable animal, and so it's very powerful.
Using a syringe on a pole, Dunham dosed the animal with a sedative, then climbed down into the well, which had a few feet of water in it. With help from a crew above, he put straps under the moose's body, and within an hour, an excavator had pulled it safely to the surface. Dunham says he gave the moose an immobilization reversal drug, and off he ran. The biologist recommends those hunting moose in the Pembroke area this season to pass on shooting the untagged young bull, because there may still be chemicals in his body, which renders his meat unsafe to eat. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition on Maine Public Radio. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.